Welcome, everyone, to episode 149 of the Planet Destiny podcast. This week's going to be a big week. It's going to be a special week. We've got so many things to talk about, whether it's blog posts from Christopher Barrett, lackluster updates from, you know, Deej and the this week at Bungie, and the history of some of the music in Destiny. Welcome back. We have got our usual roundtable of hosts. We've got Mr. Mega Magwitch.
I'm back on the show.
He's back. A while. Welcome back. I missed you last week.
He's back.
I always miss you.
Don't leave me again.
I'm just going to pretend to drop things on Fallout's head this entire podcast since he's under me.
That works, you know, just back and torturing. Speaking of Fallout, Mr. Fallout Plays. What's up, man?
Hey. How you doing, buddy?
Doing pretty good. Good to see you, man. Good to see you.
Thank you.
My boy, my warlock boy. I'm not even mad you've been
what?
Playing
warlock?
On
warlock. Warlock, not even mad boy, you've been playing on. I don't think so. He has crossed over. All right, he has learned the true ways of the Invis Hunter.
No, Hunter smell.
They always
warlock's
come back.
The best. That's right. That's right. That's right. Moonfall. Mm. Welcome
like
back.
Like an unhealthy
Moonfall.
Drug addiction.
As long as you don't play Titan, we're fine.
Rip Titans. Rip Titans. You heard the man. Rip Titans.
They all have merit.
That's exactly what I said on the DTR podcast a few days ago. I said that exact same thing.
Rip Titans and...
We're getting
that's right. Every other class
material,
smells.
Guys.
Warlocks are the best. Hi, I'm the Black Link. We're back, and we've got ourselves a very special guest. Mr. OS Epsilon. Welcome to the show. Whatever you just said, Skype didn't like it, so introduce yourself again.
Just call me Owen.
Just call you Owen?
I made the name OS Epsilon when I was like 10 years old, and I hate it.
I thought it sounded cool.
It now.
I was sitting there like, man, this guy's got an awesome name.
Way better than a lot of 10-year-old names.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Like Titty Master 5000. That was my 10-year-old username.
When I was 10, my RuneScape name was Monkey King Zero, all right? So it's not...
Wow, I'm going to call you that from now on.
Please do.
Dude,
anybody out there who wants it, passwords, lakes, and
name.
CC.
Dude, we got a fucking guy in this community named Mudwipe. Like,
and he's great.
One of the biggest people in the community, his name is Mudwipe.
So your name isn't that weird.
Yeah, OS Epsilon. I think it's freaking dope. It's just like,
it is.
Fair enough. Like
this is Agent Epsilon in. What do you want me to kill? Oh, you want me to orchestrate beautiful music? I got you, because that's kind of your thing, isn't it? You're somebody I've been following for a while, because you're one of the people who's primarily been behind getting the music of the spheres, the orchestral music that's the basis for all of the music we heard throughout Destiny 1, out to the community. And you finally had a big breakthrough just a few weeks ago in getting the full actual music of the series out, right?
Two days before Christmas Day.
Well, I mean, yeah, 2 days before Christmas Day, you wound up getting something I have been waiting for years. Basically, ever since I first started really tuning into Destiny and its development, I've always been a huge fan of the music in Destiny. I think it's some of the best I've ever experienced in the gaming world. And the story behind it with Marty O'Donnell, Paul McCartney, and all of that, and its creation, its effect on the game, and the fight to get it out to the community is probably one of the most amazing stories in Destiny right now.
Well, why don't you tell it, motherfucker? Because some people don't know what's going on.
I have no idea.
You dove right in, baby. You got to tease them. You got to wet the palate a little bit. All right.
No, dive in.
Story time, okay?
Story time.
Everyone here has loved the Halo theme, or at least anyone who plays Halo knows the Halo theme, like the chorus and the... the little trumpet fanfare at the beginning of Truth and Reconciliation. I'm a huge fan of that sort of stuff, by the way. I'll place in the story later. I'm a huge fanfare guy. So I play brass instruments, as you can probably see several of them in the background. But,
yes.
So, then, of course, we've got, Mike Salvatore and later on Paul McCartney. So it's sort of how Paul McCartney, you know, the former Beatle, he got involved because Marty... actually has a friend who has a lot of connections, right? And that's how he got a hold of like people like Nathan Fillion and all sorts of other, you know, Firefly people. That's how he got a hold of them, was through this guy. So at E3 one year, they're sort of sitting there like, they had just done their presentation, and then Paul McCartney and a couple other guys come up for a new rock band game, I think. Or it was some sort of game like rock
band. Oh, yeah.
And Paul McCartney, at E3, right after Marty had just been on stage, Paul McCartney comes up and he's like, damn it, man, we were so close to being with Paul McCartney. And he's like, man, that's like the best I'm ever going to get. How wrong that was. So then his friend, who has all these connections, he just comes up to Marty and says, hey, how cool would it be if you composed music with Paul McCartney? Marty's like, do you have any connections with him? No, I don't. Okay, do you think you can get him? No, I don't.
It's Paul McCartney.
Well, yeah.
Just dial him up.
Yeah. You guys don't have Paul McCartney on speed dial? I mean, everybody does.
Should I?
All right, anyway, so then a couple months later, right before Marty's about to give a keynote, he gets a call from his friend. He's like, dude, I got the meeting with Paul. And then 20 seconds later, Marty had to give an entire keynote without like having like a fan little flip out like, oh my God, I'm meeting Paul McCartney in a few months. So yeah, he apparently gave that entire keynote pretty well, he said. Anyway, that's the story of Paul McCartney. But what is this project that they worked on? What is this Music of the Spheres? Well, so Marty would always write music like at the last minute for Halo, right? And for all other games he worked on. The reason being, you know, he didn't want to write music for, say, the original Halo 2 ending, because it's a lot of effort to write something, put your heart and soul into it, get it recorded by an orchestra, and not have it get used.
Yeah,
say, I have to cut the level, I have to cut the change the story, or, you know, that's... The other thing is, it's just not as fun for him because he likes to write to actually sit down with a controller in his hand and just play the game and think, this is a really cool encounter. What can I write for this as he's playing it? You know, he gets inspired by him playing the actual product.
I've actually heard that, yeah, that he plays the game and then makes the music based off his experience.
Yeah, so with Destiny, they didn't want... They didn't really like that. They wanted him to make music ahead of time. I forget who, but someone walked up to him and said, hey, can you make music ahead of time? And he says, well, I'll think about that. So shortly after he got a hold of Paul McCartney, they started talking about this Music of the Spheres concept, which is an ancient concept that Pythagoras came up with. It's technically called Musica Universalis, which means universal music. And the idea is basically, like, around the flat Earth time when people still thought the Earth was flat and we were all, like, at the center of the universe and all that. And it was, like, sorry, friend's messaging me. Like, hey, you're on the podcast. So
tell that friend to shut the hell up.
Telling a story here.
Anyway, so, sorry, I have really bad ADD. So basically, the planets rotate around the Earth in harmony, right? Like, the Sun was considered a planet because, as the CD actually says, the Greeks identified what they called wandering stars, which was their definition of planet. Planet means wandering star. So the Moon was a planet. The Sun was a planet. Obviously, then we have, like, Venus, Mercury, Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars. Those were, the seven spheres that they had actually found at the time. And these spheres became sort of inspiration for, like, gods, literature, music, before Marty did it. And also mythology. So, like, for example, Mars in their eyes was, like, the planet of war. And Jupiter was the planet of joy. Venus was the planet of love. And so, or, like, and Mercury was the planet of speed, and that's why when you listen to The Union, it plays in the Black Garden mission Destiny 1, by the way, for those who don't know the piece by name. If you re-listen to that piece, like, the string section goes really fast. I think it's actually at, I did the math. It's at 226 beats per minute. I don't want to do the math in my head right now, but it was, like, somewhere between 5 to 8 notes a second for the cellos, I think. But if you actually do the math. It was an insanely fast piece of music. It was really fast. Because it's at 226 quarter notes per minute, and the cellos play nothing but eighth notes, which is half of a... which is like... Yeah, it was pretty fast. Anyway, so... Marty and Paul are just talking about this, and they're like, you know, this is pretty inspiring. We can make music about this. And it sort of fits into the whole theme of Destiny, you know, they're just traveling from planet to planet, right? And... basically, they just sat down over the next 2 years, wrote a suite of 8 pieces, one representing a planet, and then the last one, The Hope, represented the Traveler arriving into our solar system. And basically, the idea was that they would release it a month or two before Destiny came out. Marty called it a musical prequel. And basically, if I actually read the booklet in the CD, it's like, basically the idea is that the Traveler was sending messages to humanity as like a subconscious message that we, our subconscious minds, identified as music. And so basically, the music tells stories of places yet to exist in places that we will be someday. And the idea is that music of the spheres, like as we hear it as an audience in Guardians, is being presented to us by the Traveler before it arrives.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was completely finished. Like, it was recorded with an orchestra in September to November of 2012. It was the orchestra finished recording it on November 26, 2012. I think it was the date. And then they started mixing and mastering it. The music was ready to ship on December 10th, 2012. That is the date.
Wow.
So it's been 5 years, not 4, which a lot of the articles incorrectly stated.
That's kind of insane. It's like, yeah, thinking about it, I can't believe we've been, you know, kind of playing this game for that long.
Yeah, the years fly by, man.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, that's wild.
That's interesting. So for people who might be showing up late, I know we're having a little bit of audio problems if you're here with us live. The fully recorded version of the podcast should be fine. But sort of telling the story right now of Marty O'Donnell, the video game composer who was awesome, worked on the Halo soundtrack, how he and Paul McCartney got together and composed the music, the original music for Destiny 1. And it was...
Don't forget Mike Salvatore. He came on at the end of composing the first piece. So okay. Basically how it worked was, like, I think Marty and Paul wrote most of the first piece of music, or at least the first draft of it, called The Path, which represented the moon.
Yep.
And then Marty calls Mike up, like, hey Mike, you should come join us on this project since you did the Halo music with me. Hey, sure, man. And then they started working on it for the rest of it.
So what... So they... For the people who might not know the story, they finished recording the audio. So they have this complete soundtrack for Destiny 1. I mean, it's Marty quality music, so it's, you know, it's going to be really insanely good. But the full soundtrack never got released to the public. Why?
Oh, God, this is a fun story. Really fun story. Sarcasm. Oh, wait. So come E3 2013, right? So Bungie was working extremely hard because at first, you know, they've talked about Destiny before this point, but they're talking about their ideas. They weren't really talking about it as like a game showing off, these are the things you can do, these are the things that you'll see. They were just talking about ambitious ideas. But at E3 this year, or that year, it was all about, that was changing, right? It was like, hey, we showed off these ideas, now we're showing this off as a product. You want to start selling people to buy this game. Like, we're ready and we're at that stage. So they were working very, very hard to show off their first ever gameplay trailer. And Marty had gotten music composed for it, which was a section of the Union. And he got, literally just to give you an idea of how much Activision had changed, I think they changed like a sound effect or two. I don't know about that one, but they also even changed the narrator. Like, they just hired a completely random narrator, whereas Marty had a narrator for this music who was actually, like, part of the game story. Like, I don't know, like, the speaker might have been narrating the trailer or something like that. We don't know, because they changed it. And they, referring to Activision, replaced the music and the narration and possibly a sound effect or two with their own stuff. And to give you an idea of how bland the music was, it's like, you just go to Google, type up, you just type up epic trailer music, and then the first thing you pops up, you pick that, put it in this trailer for this really ambitious game, and that's the for the first impression of the game. Obviously, the guy who's put his blood, sweat, and tears into making this great first impression with the music was pretty pissed off.
And as I recall, yeah. there was the, that that wasn't so. The only issue where that happened. As I recall, it also happened with a lot of Destiny's promotional things, like the commercials and whatnot for it. They basically didn't utilize any of Marty's work, and they kind of made it sort of like the standard Activision game commercial, where you know you throw some AC/DC in there and you make it action oriented, kind of supplanting some of the hard work Marty and you know Michael and Paul McCartney had done, and that apparently didn't rub them too well. Behind the scenes.
well phrased.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway, what happens is Marty felt like it was us, like the community, it was our right to know that when we saw a trailer, we knew exactly what went into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, he made a tweet saying, for anyone who wants to download this music or is interested in it, I didn't make it. Bungie didn't make it. Activision did, and they replaced it at the last minute. And that tweet, where he was basically just being open and honest to the public, that's what ultimately led to him being fired. The technical reason for why he was fired was that started some disagreements between him and Bungie management. They issued a veto letter because at first they were on Marty's side, but then Marty made some questionable decisions, arguably. And to be exact, the reason that they fired him exactly the moment they did was because Bungie's lawyers went to CEO Harold Ryan and said, hey, you do realize the longer we keep Marty around before we fire him, the more likely he is going to be entitled to shareholding stocks, right?
Yeah.
Ryan's like, holy shit, fired that dude right now. So they fired him without cause.
They fired, they fired him and withheld his shares.
They fired him, withheld his shares, didn't publish the music. And it was a pretty bad situation for both parties. So Marty went to go sue them for the shareholding and stuff, and Bungie actually sued him for copyright infringement. Now see, here's as someone who studied the music of the Spheres and exactly how much of it was used when and where, do you want to know how much of it Bungie or Marty technically infringed upon? How, like, the number of minutes and seconds? Marty, like, so you know how Bungie pushed a shit ton of it in the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, 45 seconds was the amount of music Marty used that Bungie hadn't. They sued him over 45 seconds of music.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, thankfully, to speed things through here, that lawsuit did go on for a couple of years. It did eventually end in Marty's favor. They did restore his shares in the company. I think he's not a majority shareholder in Bungie.
The first
right
one was
now,
like a couple hundred thousand.
Yeah. He wound up coming out on the better end of that. And eventually, you were able to start putting together pieces and bits and pieces, recreating parts of this soundtrack that we never got to hear. And it's kind of started you off on a crusade of getting this music out to the community in as close a manner as possible to the original music of the Spheres.
Yep.
So how did that process go? I mean, because you had to basically pick and choose things from trailers.
So basically what we did was we did a lot of guesswork, which actually, if you go to the one, and it's still up, by the way, if you want to see how close we came, there's the version that's on Reddit and probably a lot of YouTube channels by now. But the last one we did before that is actually coincidentally up on Planet Destiny.
It
has like my artwork and all that. So if you want to actually go find the last version we did and compare it, that's the one on Planet Destiny. Ryan's the best guy, by the way. You guys are lucky to be like working for him full time. Just saying that.
Brown nose. I like you, Ryan. So, I like you.
Anyway,
all right.
So, the whole thing began because I couldn't go to school and I was insanely bored.
Everything
in life starts that way. That's worth doing.
Yeah,
yeah, boredom. And so basically, I just one day I read through the court document from because that's public shit, right? Like,
yeah, it's
public. They put the public documents out, like detailing exactly what happened. And so I read through all 59 pages, and one little detail sort of caught my attention, which was, hey, 40 minutes of this music is like I could listen to it right now if I knew what it was. So I went on this trek to find out what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So first, the starting was going onto the official soundtrack, which has like excerpt from the Tribulation or excerpt from the Ecstasy, excerpt from the Union. And there were a lot of little hints spread out through, you know, the soundtrack, like, hey, so the excerpt from The Union, well, in Video Games Live 2013, actually played The Union in its entirety. Well, now I know what The Union sounds like. So there was a piece called Excerpt from the Ruin on the soundtrack. And from E3 2013, Bungie publicly released on their website the Ronaut music, which was a much longer version of Excerpt from the Ruin. So that got it up to like 10 minutes of music already just off of those two pieces alone that were just right there right off the bat. The complicated stuff came in when we got into the other movements like the Rose and the... Actually, the Rose is fairly straightforward once you got the game disc. Basically, I started going through game disc files that someone had put out there. Like, they put the CD into their computer, ripped all the audio from it, most of it anyway, to put out a more complete soundtrack than Bungie had, which happens with a lot of games. It's called game ripping the audio. Mm-hmm. It's a fairly large community there. So they had like a pretty much complete version of the Rose. They had some longer versions of the Tribulation and the Ecstasy. It just took a while to figure out what was what. For the record, there was 6 hours worth of music on the disc. 6.5 hours.
That you had to basically delve through and piece together.
Yeah, basically, it was like, I have 6.5 hours worth of music. How do I know what I need 40 minutes of it. How do I know what 40 minutes I need, and how do I know where to place it? Well, I actually, so about halfway through all this process, right, Marty actually puts a video out on his YouTube channel, which was a talk that he made at a Nordic game conference. And what he did was he played 5 snippets of the music, and again, only 45 seconds of it was music that we hadn't heard before, but what was important about it was the presentation of it. It actually gave a real good idea of how the music was actually, like, formed and all that. Mm-hmm. And that was when we discovered, oh hey, so this piece called The Path, this right here is The Traveler, like the piece on the soundtrack called The Traveler. It's the first track on the soundtrack, it's the first piece here in the game, right? That piece actually has The Path in it, or parts of it at least. So does The Tower from the soundtrack. It has some and then I started digging through Marty's Twitter, and I saw, oh, hey, so for House of Wolves, when they were promoting this live stream, Bungie actually used... So, remember the original countdown music, right? Some folks in the chat may not, but remember that music that they played during House of Wolves during the stream countdown, right? Like the 4-minute stream countdown?
Yeah.
That right there was a majority of The Path. Yeah, the pre-stream music, that was a majority of The Path right there. And, quick detour. That music was used by mistake on Bungie's end, actually. They did not intend to use that. Hmm. Yeah, basically, they told the stream guys, hey, go find something that sounds nice, and they used it by mistake.
Oh, so they said, find some music for the pre-stream?
Yeah.
And he's like, this sounds great.
Like a track that's labeled, like, do not use.
Yeah.
He's like, that sounds pretty banging. Let's put this on.
Yeah, that's a real banger. Put it up there, baby.
Real banger.
Pulled out his 8-track.
That's the story.
He's gonna love this.
That's the story of how we got 4 extra minutes, guys. That's the story right there. Whoever made that mistake, thank you. My DMs that's are really open. Funny. Send me a message and I'll send you a cookie, please.
Just slide right into those DMs.
So basically, you brought it upon yourself to dig around the internet wherever you could to find every possible snippet that you could of music to complete the music of
and
the
then
stew.
Stitch it together. That's so crazy.
That's kind of incredible.
It would be 8 minutes short no matter what, because there was 8 minutes we didn't have. But the idea was make a mock-up music of the spheres to give the community at least some form of closure on, hey, this is what it could have sounded like.
And
I gotta be honest, I wouldn't have had the patience for that.
Oh my god, trying to stitch that together.
You know, my favorite is, like, there's gonna be people in the chat who are gonna ask, like, can anyone have a link to it? Like, they're not even willing to fucking Google to find it or go to YouTube to find the thing together.
The time for
but I just say, though, in a world, like, in our community right now, how we're so focused on what's wrong with the game, I really appreciate the fact that spent so much time bringing us like in a really artistic, beautiful aspect of the game and bringing that to light, because that's really important. That's the reason I got into Destiny. I heard the music, I saw the art, and I was like, this is one of the most beautiful pieces of media I've ever seen. That's so true. To have access to that now, especially in the times that we live in.
Yeah,
like,
in the intended form. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened? Okay, so you basically do as much as you can do with all of the internet digging possible.
Yeah,
and you took that and you put it all together and you presented it to Reddit. Is that what you did?
Yeah.
Yeah, put it on Reddit, yeah.
You put it on Reddit. And you were basically like, I did all the work that I could putting this together. Do we have a link to this Reddit post? Can we share this?
Yeah, we've been spamming it.
The original Reddit post. Okay, great. Okay, so you share it with everybody.
The original Reddit post was deleted. There was a reason for that.
Okay, that sounds about right.
Was Bungie like not cool with you like sharing the music?
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to get into that story. I don't want to get too deep into that story.
Oh, shit. He got an NDA.
He clicked post and there was like four lawyers knocked on his door.
Deej broke his window open.
He just got the binoculars like.
So, for the record, I didn't have to delete the Reddit post, but they said, hey, we'd appreciate it if you stopped sharing this. And I'm like, okay, well, fuck. I'm technically still sharing it.
We would really
appreciate
it.
It'd be in your best interest, kids, to take down the Reddit post.
He didn't have to take it down, but men in black suits were following him everywhere he went.
They were targeting your kneecaps. And you got a real nice kneecap, kid.
No.
Be a shame if it stopped working.
It was nothing like that. It was nothing like that.
Okay. You ever see that episode of The Simpsons where Homer gets into like an internet company and they buy him out? All right, buy him out, boys.
For a couple of years you work on this. Let's move towards the end of this. So obviously I'm not going to ask you how you got your hands on the actual copy of Music of the Spheres, but what was that like? I mean, because that had to have come out of nowhere after all this work that you put in recreating this to just get the full real thing into your hands. As I understand it, Marty made about 100 or so copies of this and sent it out to friends and coworkers, right?
So basically, back when they were planning on actually shipping Music of the Spheres as a product, they made 100 CD copies. About 25 of those were handed out to Bungie employees Marty was friends with, and about 50 of the others were handed out to promotional partners like Microsoft, Sony, something else, Music Works, etc.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And so, basically, then the other 25, Marty still had in his possession before Bungie sued him. When they sued him, he had to give them all back.
I'm just really over here. I just want to say, I real quick, I got to interrupt you, because I feel like I'd almost be pissed if I were you and I got the actual thing. Like, I'm just thinking about, like I spent years of my life trying to, like, recreate this thing, and then somebody's like, oh, here you go.
There it is.
Here it is. What? Like, I built my own. I sent my own shirt, and then somebody fucking hands me a shirt.
Well, let me clarify. I wasn't pissed at all, and here is why, okay? The thing... Part of the goal was not, and this is why we have so many versions out there from so many different times, was part of the goal, like me and my Spanish-speaking partner, his name is Slosin. We communicated through Google Translate because I don't speak Spanish and he doesn't speak English.
Look at crossing
I'm not kidding. Like, he was the guy who did the album arts. He was the guy who did the videos with all the animations. He was the guy, he helped me with a ton of detective work and audio editing. We were like legit like 50-50 partners in this. And we don't even speak the same language. Had to mention.
This is like a movie.
Really funny.
Funny. Literally don't even speak the same language. Google Translate. Yeah, I'll send you a cookie too. My DMs are open.
But this copy of it just falls into your lap, huh?
But to answer Magwitch's question, I wasn't pissed, and here's why. The reason we spent so long on it, we could have quit at any point because we had already put out several different versions. But the idea was we needed to keep it relevant long enough in the community for someone with the CD to notice it. That was the goal, to keep it relevant until someone who had it would notice it and think, man, a whole ton of people want this. I have it. Let me give it to them. And that's exactly how it happened.
Really? So somebody saw the work that you guys had done and decided, okay, well, here's the real thing.
Yeah.
That's
ripped
so
it from
cool.
a CD and gave it to us.
So you were the first person in the community to receive a complete audio edition of the Music of the Spheres.
Yes. By the way, before I forget to say this, a lot of people, I'm announcing this here and now, first time really announcing this publicly, a lot of people are asking for a lossless MP3 version. We have that sorted out. We have it sorted out. We're
really?
Yes. So, FLACs awesome. Are coming soon. FLACs are coming soon. Like,
can
full lossless and everything.
Vinyl or nothing for me.
I just want to be able, I just want to listen to it on my Zune.
Dig that thing out.
Oh my god.
So what's the timeline here for how ready are you to share this wonderful creation with the community?
Okay. So well, I was hoping this video would go up on Planet Destiny, but like right before this podcast aired, but that couldn't happen. So what we're going to, so our new project is, now that the music is out there, we're going to tell the story of the music. So what we're going to have is like a little documentary that's going to come out sometime. The plan is fall. Don't quote me on that. It could get put. The latest we're shooting for is 1 year, so Christmas Day this year. That's a 1 year anniversary. That's the latest we're shooting for. But that probably won't take that
but you're
long.
You're planning for fall.
Yes, we are planning
for something
for
that
fall.
We have
the
completed
lossless version.
You've been taking notes out of the Bungie exactly. Sandbox patch-up.
We're all trying to make that joke fall out. We're all
we've
just
got it done,
here.
But we're planning for fall 2019.
Obviously,
here's the plan. Okay, here's the plan. We're gonna release the FLAX with the spring expansion, Gods of Mars, and we release a documentary with the September expansion.
There it is.
There we
perfect.
Go.
That's
keep it,
how
you gotta
it
keep it relevant.
That's how it
keep
works.
Things
yeah,
connected.
That's how it works.
That's how it works. And just to clarify for everybody who might be watching or listening to this, you guys released the MP3 version of Music of the Spheres, I believe a few weeks ago. Where it's just the FLAC version that isn't quite out yet. So if you want to hear the actual Music of the Spheres, it is out. He made a Reddit post about it. It's I think it's up on like a Google Drive or something. We might have already linked it in the chat.
It's on YouTube. It's on SoundCloud. It's on a ton of people made torrent like extra Google Drive. Yeah. How does Google Destiny Music of the Spheres on Google? Go under News. You'll find Kotaku articles that mention this.
Kotaku's made an
Game
article.
Game Informer articles that mention this. Engadget article. It's literally impossible not to find it if you just Google Destiny Music of the Spheres, okay?
There you go. So it's out there. If you want to hear the music
really
behind all of Destiny, that's it right there. And I know this is a project I've been following basically since you made your first Reddit post, because I've always been absolutely in love with Destiny music. The Ecstasy is my favorite bit of music from Destiny. I used to actually use the excerpt from the Ecstasy as my like call tag song in YouTube videos and whatnot. And so when I started reading about your project to get that music out, and I could find the full thing of the Ecstasy. Yes, this is what I wanted. So I've been kind of following it for the past couple of years, and to finally get the full thing out is just an absolutely incredible experience. It's an incredible story from start to finish of what happened with this music, how it got hidden away, and then how it's finally been released.
Yep.
In large part, thanks to your work, trying to recreate that entire album. I gotta say, man. Hell of a story, bro. Great stuff. Great stuff.
Okay.
And,
so you say the Ecstasy was your favorite. Now I gotta ask. What was it when you first saw Halo, were you blinded by its majesty? Secondly,
but when I first saw Halo, I was blinded by the handgun in Halo 1 because it was just killing me all over the place. So,
good reference.
But no, seriously, what was it like to hear that, the full version of the Ecstasy? What did it live up to your expectations? I know it did for me.
Oh, absolutely.
Why did you think of the first minute and a half like the fanfare?
Like the fanfare is great, and like it kind of brought back some of the memories of some of the more beautiful story moments from Halo 2 in particular. It's just the starting minute or two of it, getting into the fanfare, and then the way it softens up about midway through. It's just a beautiful song. And
also love like that piano solo at the end. That really sold me on it.
It's a great piece of music, man, and I'm so glad I can have the full thing now, you know, just to listen to whenever I want. And
I haven't listened to all of it yet, but I listened to like a little bit of it today, and you can really tell the difference in quality of music. Like how, I don't know, you can just tell that this is quality composing compared to some music I hear in video games. I won't mention.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, and Bungie is really known for its quality music too. So
yeah.
One moment. I'm gonna go grab something.
We got something special coming up.
We got something. All right.
Oh wait. Mystery. I probably can't show too much of this on camera, but right here is
we're
the
all
original
shit.
Video
we're all
games
die,
live
story. We're gonna burst in.
I'm gonna read you off exactly how many parts it says. 12 soprano. Let's see. That's 24 female choir voices. 20 male choir voices. A piccolo section. 2 flute sections. Oboe and English horn, trumpets in every key, 8 French horn sections, 4 trumpet sections, 4 trombone sections, tuba, 7 percussion players. By the way, some of these percussionists were skilled enough to play 2 percussion instruments at the same time. Because they didn't get any more, they couldn't fit more 3 people into this recording studio room.
I can play the spoon.
Let's see. All right, for the record, 2 harps, which is really rare, actually. 2 harps is pretty rare. And here's why, because harps are really damn expensive.
Yeah.
16 violins, 1. 16 violins, 2. So that's 32 violins, 14 violas, 12 cellos, and 8 basses. And, like, this is how damn large a paper this is right here.
That's extensive, and, to say the least.
Yeah, like, I just look at this. Like, really. Yeah.
It's like, a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of work went into it, man.
Don't ask how I got that, by the way. I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Well, we're not going to get you
how
in
did
trouble
you get
here.
It?
Killed someone.
No. I can hear the Bungie agent breaking down the door.
There's
now.
A sniper looking in my window right now. Right.
He's like, well, I'll tell you. There's like a red dot. Like,
the hands up, drop the sheet music.
Obviously, we're really pissed off at you. It's the fact that I've even gotten an editable XML for that, so I can actually edit the whole score. That's what this version is. So it's note for note the same thing, just edited to be on smaller pages. I've gotten an editable copy of it.
Man, Bungie's coming for you.
Yeah, I know, right? They're coming for me.
But man, it's just, it's incredible that you were able to get all that kind of stuff and get this music out to the community. And man, what a cool overall story. So again, thank you for that work. I am super psyched to be able to listen to this. I listen to it I've got it on repeat when I'm at work, just going around jamming to Destiny music.
Yeah, I listened to it when I was doing my makeup, and sitting there like,
so,
that's super good.
By the way, don't forget, Marty also hired a poet to work on it.
He did, yeah.
Wow.
Malcolm
Geek. How did that play in?
One of Malcolm Geek's biggest influences, and Marty's as well, was a book called Planet Narnia, which discusses how author C.S. Lewis wrote the Narnia novels, he actually was influenced by Musica Universalis. In this book, Planet Narnia covers the connections between the two. And so, when Malcolm Geek wrote this poetry, he actually like references a lot of that. Michael Ward, the guy who wrote the Planet Narnia research book, was like his main influence on this. So there are 14 poems. There's 2 for each planet, other than the 8th planet, which is the Traveler. So basically, how this works is there's a diurnal side of the planet, which is like the daytime, the happiness, the light.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a second poem for each one, which is like the evil we've all lost. We're all dying. This is bad, and it's the nighttime version.
Yeah, kind of mirroring the story of Destiny.
Yeah.
And reading through those poems is going to be part of the project you're working on right now, right?
Yeah, we're probably going to have someone narrate them, yeah. Malcolm Geek's
excellent
plan is to release this alongside the 10th anniversary of Planet Narnia, which is sometime in March. So you are going to get your hands on this here poetry sometime in March. But I do think I'm allowed to read like one poem out of this, if you guys are interested.
Sure, go for it.
There once was a man from Nantucket.
Let's pick a good one here. I'll read Mercury. I actually haven't read Mercury to many people yet. So like I said, Mercury's a planet of speed, right?
Sure.
So let me read the daytime for Mercury then. By the way, does anyone actually notice how, like, some planets in Destiny have, like, actually, like, rotating between daytime and nighttime? Does Mercury not do that because it's so close to the sun, or do they not have enough time, or... Like, that's every other planet has had a daytime and nighttime.
Who do I look like, Neil deGrasse Tyson over like, here? Just shoot people in PvP, kid.
All right, anyway. Quicksilver Messenger, come flying here, and bring the secret burden you bear. Your finger to your lips, a silent seer, Quicksilver Messenger. Fly through the light of one bright solar flare. Carry your secret sealed within its sphere with every possibility encoded there. A helix-woven wand has brought you here, as swift and hidden waves in empty air. Now loose the lock and make your meaning clear, Quicksilver Messenger.
And that's for Mercury, that's for the day side of Mercury?
Yes, the day side of Mercury.
Oh man, and there's one of those for every planet. That's so cool.
Oh, and for those curious, yes, I was allowed to do that. don't worry.
Not gonna get
that
him in trouble.
Will be swift and unavoidable.
Unavoidable.
The idea was to help more people get a gist of it, so they can be like, oh hey, this is interesting, or maybe it's not interesting to you. Just so people know like what they're getting into for March. You know, it's to help hype up the release in March. Yeah. That's what
I
my
love
are.
Getting peeks behind the curtain like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's this whole process. I mean, like, I know we just get too wrapped up in like, oh, here's the final product, and here's what we like, and here's what we don't like. But I think it's really interesting to just
see how it's all put together.
As to like how it gets put together. Like, you know, they work really hard on putting that music together. And Marty is an awesome, awesome composer.
Yeah.
He's really talented. I've been a fan of his work since, like you said, the Halo soundtrack, which was incredible. And I don't know. I never would have guessed in a million years that like they would actually be like trying to inspire the music with like,
yeah,
poetry on, you know, the nature of the planets and stuff like that. I don't know. It's all very cool. The work that goes into the final product.
Yeah, and one final thing before we can, because this is already going on. We're already an hour into the podcast. So anyway, so. One last thing, Marty actually, you guys know the oracles from Vault of Glass, right? So every oracle from Vault of Glass has a musical note attached to it, which is...
Do, re, mi, fa, so.
So it goes C, D, E, F sharp. Basically, it's sharp 4 and flat 7. So it's basically it's a normal scale A, B, C, D, E, F, G, except the B is flat and the F is sharp. It's a very unusual scale by modern standards, but Marty actually based the entire music of the spheres around it, believe it or
really?
Not.
Really?
Hmm.
Which means, in a way, every oracle in the Vault of Glass is connected to a piece of music of the spheres, because the piece of path is in C.
Meaning,
like, the piece of tribulation is in F sharp. So that means that, like, I think it's the L2 oracle represents the tribulation. The middle oracle represents track one, the path. They're based on the same thing.
Yes. That's super cool. I never would have thought of a connection like that between the oracles in the vault and the overall theme of the music and the worlds and whatnot for Destiny. Just goes to show, man, there's
it helped. Certainly making that connection helped a lot of my friends that were at the Raid Secret, you know, tinfoil hat
subreddit,
of Destiny.
The tinfoil hat community.
I'm with them more than people would think, actually.
Yeah, and going back to like the artistry of everything, it just shows you how deep everything goes, and like TBL said, how much thought really went into it. And there's so much symbolism regarding like astrology and astronomy and like different mythos from different cultures and stuff. And that is, oh god, that's so cool. That is so neat.
Yeah,
I love hearing about that.
Did you actually know that in D1? You know how there's like the blue lavas or the blue lava on Venus, right?
Venus. Mm-hmm.
That's not just science fiction. That's actually how it would work in the real world. There's a chemical in the atmosphere of Venus that makes lava turn blue. That's how much detail they paid attention to there.
It's a well-built game, and pretty much every aspect of it. The art aspects, the game design, the world design, the music, all of it's super good. And I feel like we could go on with this topic literally all night, but we would be remiss if we didn't discuss some of the other things that were going on in the Destiny community right now. Yeah, and he's back.
He's back to talk about.
We just sat here and talked bad about you until you got back.
Like this Fallout guy, I tell you.
Yeah, this dude
you guys
right
know that there's actually a chemical in the air on Venus that turns Moon's hair blue? I don't know if you guys
that's
knew fact. That. But
that's why. That answers the question. Why it's
secret,
blue.
I'm on Venus. Uh-huh. You've blown my cover.
There you go.
Blown my cover.
She's
man.
There.
Thank you.
Can
that.
I come back with you? I missed the Ishtar
snake. Damn it, man.
But,
I missed the vault of glass, mate.
Yeah, me too. I missed that entire world space.
If we just wait long enough, I think every single thing was in D1 is just going to be in D2 if I read this update correctly.
That's the general theme, isn't it? And
the point of the conversation.
Yes.
Well, yeah, we're going to spend the rest of the show talking about
it. Forcing our way
about,
into it, damn it.
We're not going to be able to talk about it at the length that we probably
don't
should.
Don't you tell me how long I can force it in.
Just saying. We're going to have to
we're not
going to
be able to. We're not going to be able to cover everything there. So I figured we can just kind of paraphrase our overall thoughts on what we got. And maybe one or
like
two big things that kind of
stood out. Like having to wait a year to dismantle multiple shaders, right?
Yeah, that's definitely a thing. That's on the back burner for like what? Fall?
Yeah,
fall or earlier.
I'm sorry, I just don't imagine myself waiting a whole fucking year to not take 20 minutes to dismantle
one
shader.
Because you know what happens when you play D2 right now? You know what happens? You finish your weekly milestones on the first day of reset, then you're supposed to spend the next 6 days deleting shaders.
That's it. That's the balance. Nobody else gets it. Nobody else understands. It's all about that, Mega. You're brilliant.
Yeah,
go work at Bungie.
It's literally the process.
But yeah, so of course, obviously, we got this blog post from Christopher Barrett, the one that they've been promising for the past week or so, talking a bit about their direction moving forward, some of the changes, the roadmap for some of the changes they want to implement in the game. And I guess we can take a little bit of time to talk about our overall thoughts on it. Personally, I think there's only like two things in this blog update that I didn't like, one of which was like Mayhem coming back as like maybe a monthly, bi-monthly event. I'm mad about that. I want Mayhem to just be back as
default Mayhem all the
game
time.
Mode.
Yeah.
And I can't even remember what the other thing was because it wasn't that big. So most of the stuff that, in my opinion, that was brought up in this is good. It's good changes. It's stuff that I like seeing.
Wait,
especially
wait,
like
question,
the Nightfall.
Quick question. Before we get Mayhem back, we possibly just get the ability to not play Supremacy if we don't want to play Supremacy?
Yeah. That was kind of my point with Mayhem. Yeah. Let's just go back
that
to the
that was what made
system.
Iron Banner Control so much fun for me. It's like, holy shit, I don't have to play Supremacy. I can play my favorite game mode, which for me is personally Control. I can sit here and play Control. This is so revolutionary. I love it.
What a novel idea, being able to pick the game mode you want to play. And I still argue that that's probably the way things should be instead of just a quick play in a competitive playlist.
Probably.
But I thought most of the stuff in this was pretty good, but none of it really addresses some of the core issues of the game. So it's good stuff. We're going back to some stuff that never should have left in the first place. Thank you, Destiny 1. But
The salt.
Assault.
What do you? Those are my thoughts. What do you guys think?
I'm 100% with you, TBL. There's nothing that is bad in the post. There's just nothing that's like good enough, I guess, in my brain to get me excited. Like, okay, so now I cannot play the game type that I want to play in 6v6. All right, the things that I need to know about are the mysterious sandbox update of
the
season
sandbox
three.
Things.
Like that's what I need to know
anyone?
About now.
Vague?
But the rest of like. All the things that are in here, it's like, okay, like private games are coming, I guess, eventually, months down the line. Again, I have to wait a year into like fucking Destiny to be able to play a private match. I don't understand, and I never will understand.
But it's like, I was happy about everything in that blog post. And maybe like next week we can do like a bullet at a time talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
yeah,
for right now. It's like, I'm really glad that they're, A, taking action, and they're going to give the community what they've been asking for. But it's for the community, I can understand that it's like a bittersweet moment. Because it's like, I'm happy that we're getting the things that we're asking for, but it's like, holy shit, we're basically, it just seems like right now we're just turning the clock back. We're like
going back to D1.
We're going back to 6v6, and then Christopher Barrett put up that tweet the other day about, like, we want to make the power weapons Like, did you see that tweet about the weapons where he like they want to make the weapons feel better? I'm just like, dude, are they just gonna bring everything back to D1? Not that I would have a problem with that, but it's like part of me sort of feels bummed out because I remember being there live at the D2 reveal event in California, and we were just like, this is amazing. Like, I wanted a lot of the gambles and stuff that Bungie took to pay off. It's kind of sad that a lot of them didn't seem to pay off. It's like, you know, that's one of the things you have to do. You have to take risks, you know what I mean? But you also have to acknowledge when the risks...
When risks don't work. Yeah.
Sometimes when I'm playing this game and I'm, like, really bored, like, bored out of my mind, like, in the middle of the week when I don't have anything to do and I'm playing it,
yeah,
I think about the moment when I was watching the trailer sitting next to Fallout and he was like, hold me, Mega! And we were so excited. And I was just like, what happened between this time? I don't know.
Oh, man.
I am with Fallout. There's so many awesome things that... in theory sound awesome that they went for that I was super excited for in D2, and so much of it just kind of doesn't work the way
Didn't pan out quite as well.
And I'm also torn on, like, because I see people on Twitter saying things like, you know what we've said already, it's like, this should have been in the game day one. And like, I agree, but like, at the very least, we got to be happy that they're listening to us now. But to a degree, I don't like the people who are being like real assholes about it, but the people who are being like, yeah, you know what, like, sort of should have been there day one. I feel frustration. I feel like if like my uncle came to visit.
That's completely valid.
Let's say my uncle comes over to visit, right? And he takes out the car without asking and he drives it off a cliff, right? He's like, hey, by the way, I drove your car off of a cliff, but like, I'm going to pay you back for the car. You're not going to get it until October, though. I'll be like, okay, well, like, I'm glad that you're paying me back for my car, but like, really wish you hadn't done that with it. You know what I mean? I don't know how else to describe that feeling, but
I think it's just it's.
And I mean, like, you're allowed to be disappointed about it too.
Yeah, sure.
Like, there shouldn't be like a huge feeling of guilt. Like, well, oh, maybe I should just deal with it. But no. It's okay to be disappointed by something that you had such high expectations for. It's just important to also recognize that yes, now they're trying to fix it, and it will take time because anybody who's ever made anything for an audience, you know, understands that it can't be perfect.
Right. Yep.
I fully get it as somebody who has made things, but it does, like, it makes me, I'm not angry that it's going to take time, but it's like, ah, man, like, what the fuck do I do for the next few months?
Six months.
Yeah, and that's fine. Yeah, that is so totally fine.
Bittersweet.
I'm saying that to you and anybody else in the community who might feel the same way.
We're happy that we're going to get stuff. And depending on, you know, the severity of the sandbox changes, it could be like an entire rebirth of the game in a lot of different ways, which would be really cool because I do still enjoy playing sometimes. It's like I'm happier playing with people that I'm happy playing with. Like, if I would never log into D2 to play alone. Like, what am I, fucking psycho? Like, no, I'm gonna play with my friends and enjoy myself. But like,
that's right.
Yeah, it's just a bummer that we have to wait a little bit. I do understand, but my main critique right now is like, I wish they had kind of two different sandbox, or I don't know what the proper term is. Like, it's just like, I think we all had that same moment of laughter when we were like reading the developer update, and it's like, here are some things that we're shooting for in like fall 2018. Oh, we want you to be able to group delete shaders. I was like, are you kidding me?
Fall.
Literally unplayable.
Can't you just get like one guy and be like, hey, Dave, guess what your job is for January?
Figure out how to mass delete shaders.
Mass delete shaders.
Okay.
Because like, I understand that there's a lot of things to work on in the game, like, and there's things that are really important, and there's things that are going to take a long time,
like dismantling shaders.
There's things that should take a little bit of time, right? Can't we divide the division of labor? I've never worked in the video game industry, don't know how it works, but I do know the bottom line is that it feels like borderline silly that we have to wait until fall.
For something like that.
For something like that. Can't we just get, like,
and I'm sure there's a reason
intern?
For it. Like,
there's got to be a reason.
I'm sure there is. I'm not,
I hope
I'm
there's,
not,
like, something like how the colony doesn't work with high frame rate. There's, like, something where every game and every gun in the game will break if they fucking change that. Like,
if they change the way shaders work, no, it destroys every trials
some
map.
Some weird, like, rubber band under the hood that's keeping it running.
Like. Yeah. I'm not obviously implying that Bungie's sitting over there being like, you would be fucking hilarious if we made them wait until October.
I kind of hope they are.
They are. Yeah, they were like, all right, they're real pieces of shit to us on Twitter. Let's just
sat down in a conference room and they had bagels and coffee and they were talking about how they could fix the game and make changes and make it all effective on a good timeline. But it's just like, it just feels silly. That's all I'm going to say.
You got to wait that long, yeah.
I wish we could do something.
Clearly you never saw that Reddit post back when they made the nerfed uni mode, they got rid of when they nerfed quick draw. Remember that, right? Mm-hmm. That update. Yeah. Right around there was the most brilliant Reddit post called "Meanwhile in Destiny Weapon Balancing Department," and it was just like basically
flick the
like
paperclip,
made up conversation.
I remember that meme
between Josh Hemrick and Greg Pingerson. I think it's the last name. And it was just the greatest thing you've ever read. It was so funny.
Flicking a paperclip at the balance lever. Yeah.
Is this all? So they're just like bring out like this little. So how they obviously do it in a Bungie, right? According to that Reddit post, is they just have like a little plastic bin with hundreds of ripped up pieces of paper in it. Then they just pick out a piece of paper, read it, says Blade Dancer quick draw. Okay. They put down a piece of paper, flip a coin, one side says nerf, one side says buff.
And those lawyers are gonna be
congrats.
Under your bed tonight, bro.
No. The best part of it was
it's
when
all in good fun.
The best part was when they decided they needed to do more, and they got bored of their current process. So they opened the window, out in like this big Bungie gallery, throw a Shroom doll at one dude. Like, hey Keith, what's your favorite thing about Destiny? Actually, my name's Simon. Hey, sure thing, K Dog. Answer the question. I like Universal Remote, I guess. Slams the window shut. Kill Uni Mode.
No. That's how balance works.
Oh,
there you
man.
Go. You heard it right here. This is
we're having some fun jabs at Bungie right now. Yeah. But I do want to give them credit just because mm-hmm. like,
yeah. They are listening.
Especially yeah. especially Barry.
Oh god,
Moon,
you can't phrase
so cool.
it like that.
Oh, I love Chris.
As much fun as it is to shit on the game, especially if you be real here. I see a ton of people shitting on Deej, like, and Cosmos, but especially Deej.
Mm-hmm.
Deej is actually really good at his job. Let's be real here. Like, he's really good
absolutely.
At actually being a leader for the community, yeah. actually, like, mm-hmm. trying... Like, one of my favorite things I've actually ever seen a community manager do is something Deej did a couple months ago. He literally said, you know, basically, look, guys, you can be as angry as you want at us. Put the anger towards us. Put the anger towards Bungie, but don't make a war among yourselves. You guys... The community is what keeps us all here. Don't ruin that. And that tweet just really touched me. Like, Deej is a great guy. He does his job well.
He's good. People rip on him because, like, he's the front. He's literally
the face.
Like the front line.
He's the figurehead. Yeah, he's just the figurehead. He's just the messenger.
Exactly.
You know?
He's the messenger. Yeah, and people
and
are
I
like,
will say,
yeah, go ahead, man.
The whole they're listening thing. Maybe I'm patient to a fault or something, but I have really never lost faith that they are invested in us as a community, and they do care, you know, about like this core group of people who care about their game. So, like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're absolutely right.
I think that's important to recognize.
And we know exactly, we know what they're capable of. We know the kind of game
don't
they're capable of creating. And
you don't understand. We understand.
But like even with the meme right now, you know, we're listening. They obviously are, you know, with some of the responses in this blog update, especially something I believe as massive as the change to PvP, bringing back a 6v6 mm-hmm. game mode. They built this game from the ground up with 4v4 in mind. That's a big change. Yeah. And it gives me hope that there might be a change to the weapon system coming too. If they're willing to change the way PvP works like that. Maybe they will go back to a different weapon system of power, you know, primary, secondary, heavy, or some mixture of the two.
You know what I was really excited for? When they said Rumble was coming back, I really, really want to try something like like playing Rumble with the new weapon system. I feel like that would make a really interesting experience that I haven't really had
before. It could be, yeah.
Because in Rumble, there really isn't Team Shotting, because it's every man for himself. So it's like, I feel
you'll finally get to see what a non-team shot meta is like.
Yeah, that would be really funny, in my opinion.
I feel like people have said, the hot take is it's just going to be the best janitor in Rumble. Like, you're just going to come in after two people clean fought up and then clean up the kills. Yeah.
Sweep them up. Yeah. That's
right. It's my time to shine.
That's right.
It might play a little different.
But yeah, you know, while there wasn't anything world-changing in this, I do believe a lot of whether or not the game is really going to see an improvement in the coming months is going to hinge on the sandbox changes that they'll be discussing at a later date. I don't think they gave us a real date for when we can expect to hear from that.
Nope.
This blog post was filled with things that show that they are listening and they are actively trying to put the game into a better spot. I mean, whether it's the Nightfall change, them getting rid of the Nightfall timer and bringing back the strike scoring system, which I thought was fantastic.
That's another thing I'm stoked for.
Yeah, I'm super stoked for that.
That was so much fun in D1, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm absolutely in the boat of people who thought that Nightfall should have been the same as they were in D1 with the whole scoring system. And I'm glad that's coming back.
They've talked a bit about mods. Can they bring back bounties by any chance? Like,
maybe, you know, daily bounties and whatnot for EXP and stuff like that, whether it's the mod system, we'll be seeing a change with that. Masterwork armor is coming. They're listening, and I'm glad. Yeah, that's the meme. We're listening. They are.
How does Masterwork's armor work on Voidwalkers?
Thank you.
I wanted
to save that salt for next week, but
it's fine. Sorry.
I feel like it is a personal attack against us Voidwalkers.
I'm trying
what
to help
I supposed
you.
To do with extra armor?
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Extra armor
in
your super for the second.
It's great.
Well, our super's not a roaming super. Coming from myself. Just saying.
For those who don't know, Masterwork armor is coming. The Masterwork ability on it is going to be extra armor while you're in your super. This is great for Arcstrider, for you pole dancers. This is going to help you close gaps so much more. Same thing for Stormcallers, who have a hard time closing gaps. But if you're like a Nova Bomb, a Voidwalker, what am I supposed to do with this?
I mean, it may give you more damage resistance while you're actually casting.
Like, for the 1 second.
Maybe.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, when is that going to be beneficial? Unless I'm getting a whole team wipe, when is that really beneficial?
I mean, it'll be helpful in PvP, but like, it's just, And I understand why that's the perk. You know, it's to keep parity with weapons and whatnot. All right, Fallout, all right. We'll just go ahead and wrap things
wrap it,
up
wrap
there.
Oh, like, I was going like to say, wrap said, it up without me. You're going to do it now? Okay,
I'll take over. I got you, buddy.
You got it?
We'll do a more full rundown of the bullet points from this blog post next week. This week, we really just wanted to focus on Music of the Spheres. And for that, we do want to extend some very special thanks to our guest this week, Mr. Owen. Mr. OS Epsilon, because it's a cool name. Thank you so much for joining us this week. And thank you for the work that you put into to getting Music of the Spheres out for us, man. And looking forward to seeing some of the other stuff you guys put out. Excellent work, my brother.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much.
You can find him at OS Epsilon. I posted the link in the chat there. He's go follow that
man
on Twitter.
Don't forget the underscore. Redditors forget OS that all the time Epsilon. When they try to tag me.
So OS underscore Epsilon on Twitter.
I know that life.
Go get that
I
man.
I know that life.
Do you shit beard?
Gotta be something about that name.
But that is gonna be it for episode 149 of the Planet Destiny podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. This episode has been a ton of fun. Before we get on out of here, we're gonna let you know where you can find us all across the internet. And if you happen to be here for the live stream, go look at the Destiny directory. Tell us who to raid. Starting us off, Mr. Mega Magwitch of the Husky Raid fame. You can find him at Husky Raid and Mega Magwitch on Twitch and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Don't follow Husky Raid because they don't treat him well.
They don't. Not at all. They don't love me. they don't love me like I love myself.
Show him some love.
All right? That's right. Twitch.tv, Mega Magwitch. Follow him. Miss Moonvald, at Moonvald.
Yep.
That's
and Twitch.tv/Moonvald as well.
There you go. Follow her. She streams.
I do.
Sometimes. Does great interviews. She had a great interview this week. It's on the channel. Go watch it. It's great. It's fantastic.
Yes, thank you.
Fallout Plays, twitch.tv/Fallout Plays. This man does carries. This man does sciencey videos on the youtube.com/Fallout Plays. He had a great one this past week. Watch it. Go watch his stuff. Why aren't you watching it right now? Do it. I dare you. You won't. And of course, I am the Black Link.
Jeremy, you can find me. Sure up right now.
There we go. Take it. Fallout Plays. YouTube.com. Do it. Worth it. And of course, I am the Black Link. You can find me everywhere on the internet at the Black Link. Twitch, Twitter, YouTube. We're out of here for now. Thank you guys so much for watching. We love your faces. And we'll catch you next week. Found it. Bye, everybody.